from KQED.
Well, after failing to pass a coronavirus aid package of nearly $2 trillion, the Senate is scrambling again today to strike a deal. Sunday, Democrats blocked a vote saying it didn't do enough to protect workers and was too generous to bail out businesses. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell lashed out at Democrats, saying they squandered days of negotiations and are threatening to undermine the economy. Joining us now to talk about the status of negotiations and the disagreements over the proposed package is Bay Area Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Congresswoman Lee, thanks for joining us.
Yes, I'm glad to be with you. I hope you're doing okay and hope everybody is healthy and adhering to the health directives of our healthcare officials.
That's
very important.
It is very important. That's what we all should be doing. Let me ask you, first of all, just for an update, is there anything, what are you hearing from the Senate side there at the Capitol?
Sure. Well, you know, Speaker Pelosi is very engaged also, thank goodness, in these negotiations. And so they've, in many ways, I won't say gone back to the drawing board, but thank goodness the Speaker is there and Senator Schumer looking to try to make sure that this bill includes several priorities, which are for workers and for people who have been most impacted by this terrible pandemic. And I'll give you a few examples. We're working right now to make sure that the workers' wages and benefits are taken care of. If, in fact, corporations are going to get any resources from this bill. And also, we want to disclose who is, we want them to disclose who's going to be bailed out. If, in fact, so much of the bill will include, quote, bailouts for corporations, that's the least we can do in terms of transparency. But we also are trying to strengthen our unemployment insurance so that it can replace the wages of workers who are losing their jobs and hours, and for people who are working, for instance, in the gig economy and 1099 workers. Also, we're fighting to get the resources to make sure that hospitals and health institutions, I think we're seeing how this is, there's such a bottleneck now because the president won't activate the Defense Production Act to make sure that we fast-track the personal protective equipment to protect healthcare workers. That's extremely important, and that's not in the bill that Senator McConnell has put forth.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, you know, our OSHA protections are strengthened.
Yeah.
And, again, ask the president to invoke the Defense Production Act.
Republicans, of course, are saying that they've made a lot of concessions on things like unemployment insurance. There's $350 billion in that package for small businesses to help keep them afloat. Are you saying that Republicans need to give more, or Democrats are now asking for more? What's that dynamic like?
Yeah, we haven't changed our, you know, requests and negotiations because we wanted not only loans for small businesses, but, you know, many of our small businesses are undercapitalized and will have a very difficult time paying these loans back. So we want a mix of loans and grants, and that's extremely important that our small businesses and nonprofits have access to the resources that they need. And so we're fighting on all of these fronts to try to make sure that the bill is robust enough to make sure that our small businesses are beneficiary of what this bill would entail.
It seemed like Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Speaker Pelosi have a pretty good relationship. They were able to talk almost like 20 times before they struck a deal on the House side. And most Republicans, I think, went along with that. There were 40 that voted no, but it was a bipartisan bill. Is she involved also on this with, you know, with Chuck Schumer on the Senate side in talking with the Treasury Secretary?
Absolutely. But what happened in this instance is that Senator McConnell just decided to go ahead and introduce a Senate bill and did not ensure that Speaker Pelosi was at the table when they initially introduced it. It actually should have been introduced on the House side. And I think we see that the difference. When Speaker Pelosi introduced the bill, when we voted both on the $8.3 billion and then the bill last week, or week before last, it was Senator, Speaker Pelosi and Mnuchin who negotiated that, and we got it done. But Senator McConnell decided this time he would make it partisan, and he would do the Republican bill, write the Republican bill without input from Democrats. He did, And Speaker Pelosi had to make sure, and she's there now negotiating, make sure that this is a truly bipartisan bill and that it covers those most impacted in our healthcare sector.
I wonder, you know, this is, of course, very high stakes for everybody. The impact of this pandemic is just enormous, and it affects everybody either personally or economically or both, and not to mention healthcare. How concerned are you that this is, you know, as I think McConnell said, this is kind of Russian roulette here, that the stakes are so high that both sides should settle for a little bit less than 100% of what they want?
We understand this has to be a bipartisan bill, but I think what Senator McConnell is missing is that there are some very vulnerable populations and those impacted economically in disproportionate ways behind this pandemic. When you look, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples, we're trying to ensure that there's funding to address the homeless, to put a prohibition on utility shutoffs, debt forgiveness for student loans. And what's also important during this period is that we have a moratorium on negative credit reporting. There are so many issues that have not been addressed. And, yes, we have to work together to make sure these are addressed, but you can't just say take it or leave it, and that is what has happened. And we saw when Speaker Pelosi negotiated the bill with Mr. Mnuchin, it was a tough, but it was a bipartisan negotiation.
Yeah. You know, today, I believe today, is the 10th anniversary of the implementation or the passage of the Affordable Care Act. And I'm wondering, how do you, I know you're obviously were a big supporter, are a big supporter of that. It has a lot of critics. But how do you think that bill, 10 years later, is making a difference now, you know, in this pandemic?
Well, it's definitely making a difference because you see, we see the gaps in our healthcare system, unfortunately. And I supported the Affordable Care Act and helped actually negotiate a lot of the provisions. I was chairing the Congressional Black Caucus at that point. But I also think that we need to move forward, and I support Medicare for All because we're seeing there's so many people who don't have access to affordable health care, and we're seeing where the gaps are, and we're seeing that people, and that's why we had to put funding in for free testing because so many people don't have insurance to cover free testing. And so the affordable, I don't know where we would be had we not pass the Affordable Care Act, but we see this president filing lawsuits and chipping away at it. I see it as a member of the Appropriations Committee every day, efforts to undermine or pull the funding from the Affordable Care Act. And so we need to expand and build on the Affordable Care Act, but I, for one, believe that we have to move to a stronger healthcare system, which puts healthcare and the healthcare decisions between the medical provider, the health provider, and the patient.
You know, you mentioned Medicare for All, and of course that is a major part of Bernie Sanders' platform. You haven't endorsed yet in the presidential nomination race. Are you going to sit it out, or are you going to and sort of play the role you did last time, which was to sort of bring the two sides together?
Listen, I think right now during this health crisis, everything and everyone is focused on this pandemic. And I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that we win this election. And I'm going to work with young people and constituencies around the country to make sure that everyone votes. And we're going to have some challenges with voting this time. So I have not endorsed yet, and I am working on a variety of strategies as it relates to the platform and other issues, and hopefully I can help bring party unity, because I think now more than ever we have to be unified as we move forward to beat Donald Trump. We've seen how inept he has been, lack of leadership. We see he pulled the funding for all of those agencies that should have had it to be prepared for this pandemic, and I think now more than ever people need to understand that we have got to focus as well as making sure that we have free and fair elections in November.
Just a few minutes left, Congresswoman, and I want to ask you about your colleague, Mark DeSaulnier, East Bay congressman who broke a hip, was in the hospital, has pneumonia, does not have COVID-19, does not have the coronavirus, but I know his condition is of great concern to, of course, his family and his colleagues. What can you tell us?
Well, I talked to a member of his staff yesterday. His sons are with him, and we're praying very hard for his recovery. Mark is a good friend, and we work together on so many issues. He has been a person that I can call on. He can call on myself. We fly back and forth together, and I'm just so heartbroken that he is going through this. So I'm asking everyone to keep him in your thoughts and to really wish for his well recovery. And as someone who does pray, I'm praying for his full recovery and his family and his friends. But, you know, he's gotten many, many challenges. But Mark's a strong fighter, and we love him dearly.
I want to ask you a question before we let you go. There was a report over the weekend in Rolling Stone that the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, William Barr, had quietly asked Congress for the ability to waive certain laws during this pandemic crisis. A, have you heard about that? And what exactly are they asking for? And what do you think about that kind of a move?
Well, I have read many articles and comments about this. And waiving certain laws to expedite the delivery of supplies, masks, ventilators, what our healthcare providers need in terms of personal protection equipment, you know, that makes sense. But waiving laws that would go against what we have a law, the Posse Comitatus law, which does not allow the military to conduct domestic policing. That may be what a lot of people, well, I've heard that, a lot of people are concerned about. So we have to be very vigilant that this administration especially, you know, does not move forward in a way that's autocratic and militarizing of our domestic policing. So I'm watching that very carefully.
Quick comment here from Marjorie, who writes, an economic stimulus bill would be better spent on public transit and rail serving everybody. The very last thing we should do is approve any blank check overseen by the executive branch, since this executive shows over and over again that he simply used resources to punish his enemies and reward his friends, not for the benefit of the country overall. Do you have concerns, quickly, before we let you go, Congresswoman, that about oversight? You mentioned that $500 billion, what some are calling a slush fund for big businesses.
Absolutely, and that's part of why this bill has not been completed, because there's nothing in the bill that would disclose who will be bailed out, no transparency or accountability for the bailout funding, no requirements that workers benefit, that those who are making sure these companies survive benefit also. And so that's a real problem.
Yeah, well, we'll be watching that. I know you'll be watching it very carefully today to see if the Senate makes progress. Sorry to cut you off, Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe.
My pleasure.
Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, Ariana Prale, and Blanca Torres. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. We've got much more coming up in the hour ahead. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.